So I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. This morning we're going to continue our series called God is for Us. And that phrase, that title of the series is taken from this very chapter. We'll be studying, looking at that verse from which that phrase comes next Sunday. But today we want to look at verses 26 through 30. Romans 8 verses 26 through 30. And I want to show you how God is, by His Spirit, and because of the love of His heart, He's working for our good. He's working for our good. Have you ever seen a movie or read a story where there was some powerful person in high places who was working behind the scenes, pulling strings and steering events, and doing things secretly to the rest of the characters? Of course, as a viewer to the movie or as a reader of the book, you're aware of this, but the main characters are not aware of what's going on. And this powerful person or people in high places is steering events in such a way that it's affecting people's lives in ways they don't even realize. You ever read a book like that or seen a movie like that? Maybe it was some mastermind of a government conspiracy. Or maybe it was some really rich businessman who's using his power to totally control the market so he could get richer and get more power and just take over everything. Or maybe it was some evil supernatural force, like in The Lord of the Rings, right? Where there's this force trying to guide everything to get those three rings back, right? Hidden forces. Those are fictional, right? Hidden forces at work. Sometimes, though, there are hidden forces at work in real life that affect our lives in ways we don't even realize. And sometimes they aren't as sinister as they are in the movies. Sometimes things go on behind the scenes in our lives that are actually turning out for our good. Things you don't even realize are happening. It's like when you ever had this happen to you? Like when you later found out the reason that you got that job was because somebody else that you knew or somebody that knew you gave you a glowing recommendation and you didn't even know about it until later. You ever had that happen? Or maybe the reason you made the team is because somebody else went to bat for you and put in a good word and you found that out later. I mean, you didn't know it at the time, but someone else did something for you that made your life better. So what if something like that were going on in your life repeatedly? What if one day I came up to you and I told you that I knew a secret? A secret about your life. That something that was secret to you. A secret about somebody who was doing something secretly that was really affecting your life in ways that were not, in ways you weren't aware of, were not evident to you. If I told you that, would you want to know? Would you want me to tell the rest? Especially if I told you it's a good thing. And that once I told you that it would explain things that had happened in your life that you didn't realize were because of somebody else's influence. And the minute you heard me tell you the secret, it would make you go, oh, I didn't realize they were the reason things went so well for me. I just thought it just happened. Well, I kind of want to do that for you today. I want to tell you a secret. That if somebody didn't tell us this secret, if somebody didn't tell you this secret, you would never know about it. In fact, you would never even be able to guess it. I want to tell you that completely behind the scenes, in a totally secret way, there are hidden forces working to bring about good things in your life. They're totally beyond what you can see for yourself. They're totally beyond what you could even discover on your own unless you were told about them. And the effects of what's going on behind the scenes are so good for your life that it'll surprise you when you start to realize just how much of your life is being affected by it. You know what the secret is? Number one, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. Look at Romans 8, verse 26. Let's read two verses. Paul reveals something here that unless he had told us this, we wouldn't know. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts, that would be God, that would be the Holy Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I don't know about you, but honestly, there are few things that are as humbling and make me as grateful as when someone prays for me. And when you tell me you pray for me, or when you stand there and pray for me, few things make me as grateful to God as that. And it's humbling. You ever had this happen to you? Have you ever been blown away in your life when you found out that someone had been praying for you at exactly the right moment that you needed praying for and you didn't know they were doing it until later? Ever that? Is anybody? Tell me, a few of you? Blows you away? I mean, I've had that happen several times in my life. I didn't know it until after I became a Christian that I was saved back in 1985 in Glorieta, New Mexico. I didn't know it until afterwards, but I found out that my grandmother, who happened to be on that youth camp trip with us, had been praying for me the whole time that God would do a deep, life-changing work in my life, and she was doing it the very week I became a believer. The very week God broke in on me, on my heart, and saved me. And there have been other times when I have been really amazed when I later found out that at the exact moment I had been facing some terrible situation, some crisis, that God had prompted a friend or a family member to pray for me. And they prayed for me by name at that exact moment. And I've even had them tell me, God woke me up in the middle of the night to pray for you, and I don't know why. And I get to tell them, here's what was going on at the exact moment. And it blows them away. That has happened to me more than once. Well, the truth is, the Holy Spirit does that by name for you, and He does it all the time. And you may not even be aware of it. You probably aren't. Because that's not something you could even know God was doing for you unless He told you He was doing it for you, right? Unless He'd revealed it. Because otherwise, it just goes on totally behind the scenes. Somebody praying for you behind the scenes. It's one of those things you'd never even guess God did. I mean, think about this. It's just something you'd never guess that God did for people. God pray for us? I mean, we pray to God, but God pray? Just that alone is surprising, right? That God prays? Who does He pray to? He prays to Himself. There's three persons in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, three persons, one God, and the Holy Spirit is praying to God the Father, and what's He talking about? He's talking about you, by name, your name. He knows your name. He's talking about you, and He's not just talking about you. He's talking for you. He's going to bat for you. So just think about that. That's a mind-blowing idea, isn't it? It's incredible that the Holy Spirit is praying to God the Father for you and me. What an incredibly deep and personal act of loving kindness. It's one of the most significant ways that God intervenes in our lives. Yes, this is God intervening in our lives, praying for us at just the right moment for God the Father to help us when we need it most. Look at Romans 8:26 again, just the first few words. Let's just stop at this first phrase here. Likewise, the Spirit helps us. The Spirit helps us. Just stop there. So when, not if, but when life is falling apart and the world seems to be spinning out of control, when you and I are weary from waiting on the world to get better, and when you and I are weak from the pain and the suffering that's going on in our lives, the Holy Spirit helps us in those times by praying for us. And just to reflect back on what Paul said in the previous paragraph about the whole world groaning, waiting for the day of deliverance, for God to make all things new. The world, when the world is groaning with the birth pangs like of a pregnant mother waiting for the delivery day, longing for a good ending to this big fat mess we live in, desperate for the moment of deliverance, in that condition, in that situation that we live in constantly, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. You know, the Holy Spirit knows that we're tired of waiting. At least I am. I'm assuming you're tired of waiting for good to come, right? I mean, the Spirit even puts in our hearts this cry of Abba, Father, and then adds to that another cry, come, Lord Jesus! He knows we're tired of waiting for good to come. He knows we're tired of waiting for heaven and longing for that. We grow weary in the waiting. He knows we long for heaven very deeply every day. And for some of us, we long for it more deeply every day. And he knows how hard it is for us to live in this world. He's not oblivious to that. He's not oblivious to the mess of your life and the pain in your heart. He's not ignoring that. I want you to remember something. Jesus lived here too. Do you remember that? He lived here. And he faced what you face and what I face. Powerful temptations, strong temptations to bring him down and to just level him into sin and to pull him into the mud of wickedness. And he faced strong hatred, not mild hatred, strong hatred, and he was murdered. And what was he murdered for? For speaking words of grace and doing deeds of love. He was killed for that. Isaiah tells us he was called the man of what? Sorrows. That's right. The man of sorrows. What's his title? I mean, how would you like to have that? That's what you're known for. The man of sorrows. Right? I mean, we don't want that because, I mean, nobody wants to be Eeyore, right? That's what we associate it with. But Jesus was not Eeyore, but he was the man of sorrows because he faced them. He endured them. He lived through them. He had to. Don't you know? He had to. He knows the pain. He knows the weakness, and he knows it from the inside. He knows how desperate we can get. Because he knows how desperate things can get. I mean, just remember the pressure cooker of the whole crucifixion ordeal. It was so intense that Jesus sweat blood just thinking about it one night. And you think you've had anxiety and fear? I know you have. So has he. He cried with terrible anxiety that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Terrible anxiety. He pled with God for a way out of it. And hanging there on the cross, He groaned deeply. Cried out for God to help him through that horrible anguish. So he's no stranger to what you feel. He felt it. He felt the full force. In fact, he felt the full force of hell's worst. And he felt the full force of God's worst. What the cross was all about. It was both. As he died in our place. And that's what makes his spirit such a compassionate prayer for us. That's what makes his heart such a compassionate prayer for us. Psalm 103, verse 13. Just listen to this. It says, just as parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He feels for those who fear him. You know, no one can show as much, I can't believe that there's anybody who can show sympathy more than a mother can for her own child, right? To a hurting child or baby. And I've watched my own wife shed tears at times when our children were hurting. Maybe some of you daddies have too. Your babies are hurting. Even when your babies don't know how to speak yet, remember when they were young. If your kids are grown and they're out of the baby stage, but remember, even if they don't know how to speak yet, it doesn't really matter. You know, mama knows what the crying means usually, right? She can figure it out pretty quick. She knows when the crying means they're hungry and need to eat. She knows when the cry is saying, I'm tired and I need to sleep. Or when the crying says, I'm hurting and I need some comfort and sympathy. I need you to kiss it and make it better. When a mama hears her baby cry, she goes into action, right? To make things better. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Can I help you see this again in these two verses we just read? Look at it, verse 26 again. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Watch this. This is an incredible thing. For we don't even know what to pray for as we ought to pray. Okay? Let's admit that. Can we all confess that? Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. Even in the middle of a messed up situation, we're not even sure what to say. Sometimes all we can say is just help. Lord, help. Because it's so deep, it's so complicated, there are so many layers of emotion going on, there's so much pressure, so much grief, that's even about all you can eke out, right? Is even help. And sometimes you can't even get that far. You can't even utter a syllable or two that form an English word. So we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Watch this. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Keep going. Verse 27. And he who knows our hearts, he who searches hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the moment we get weak, God's Spirit is right there alongside us, helping us along. Even if we're like a child who in our prayer life doesn't really even know how to speak, we can be like a little baby. And we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. And when we don't know how to pray, and when we don't know what to pray, did you know it really doesn't matter, ultimately? It doesn't matter that you don't know how to pray or what to pray. Because he does our praying for us in those moments. He does our praying for us. Here's what he's doing. Paul says he's making prayers out of our wordless sighs. He's making prayers out of our aching groans. Somehow, he's taking what we can't even articulate, and all we can do is feel and groan and sigh, and he's turning it into powerful, divine prayers for us. That's incredible. So when we feel like that, he's not abandoning us to that. He's not abandoning us just to fend for ourselves. He's not like a cruel parent tossing their child, their little baby out, fend for yourself. No, he's turning our pain into prayers. He's turning our pain into prayers. The Holy Spirit prays for you. Who better could you possibly want praying for you than God Himself? I mean, isn't that encouraging to know? Hello? Isn't that encouraging? It sure is for me that He's not ignoring me. He's praying for me. Especially when I'm too weary to do it, or I'm feeling too overwhelmed, or too depressed, or too freaked out to pray, or just too weak. There are times that I can't even pray for myself, and all I can do is groan. And in those times, the Holy Spirit is praying for our peace. He's praying for our quiet. He's praying for our comfort. He's praying for our healing. I'm going to keep going here. He prays for our deliverance. He prays for our freedom. Maybe we're caught in some sin, and that's our reason our groaning. We're groaning. He prays for our emotions. You think you're the only one who prays for your emotions? He prays for your emotions. He prays for your thinking. He prays for your mind when your mind is broken and not working right. He prays for our obedience. He prays for our devotion to Christ. He's praying for our faith, that we'd have faith. He's praying for our growth. He's praying for our maturity. He's praying for us to have patience. He's praying for us to have endurance. He's praying for us to have strength. And He's praying for us to have joy and to have happiness. He's praying for our worship, even as we worship this morning. He's praying for our love to abound more and more and more. In fact, the Holy Spirit is praying for what you need right now. He's not overlooking a single thing in your life that you need from God. He's not overlooking a single thing. In fact, His verse tells us that He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows the mind of God. You know, it says that he that searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. That's a way of saying, you know, nobody knows your thoughts except you. That's true for God too, right? That nobody knows the thoughts of God except God Himself, but the Spirit knows God's thoughts. But what's interesting is that the Spirit knows our thoughts too, and He knows our thoughts even better than we know ourselves. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our needs better than we know our needs. Now, on the one hand, that can be frightening, like, oh boy, because I know some things about myself. I don't want anybody to know, and that's frightening. The Spirit knows that. Well, that's what leads us to Him, actually, in confession, and Jesus, change me, that prayer. But that's also comforting, that He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our emotions and our needs and our brokenness and the mess of our lives and our sins, and He loves us anyway, and He's still praying for us. He doesn't just abandon us. And He's praying right now for what you need right now in your life. Let me ask you a question. When the Holy Spirit prays for you, do you think that God ever turns to the Holy Spirit and says, no? Do you think He ever turns the Holy Spirit away when He prays for you? Do you think that God ever tells the Holy Spirit no for what He asks for you? I mean, don't you think that everything the Holy Spirit prays for you, that God answers yes? That would have to be the case, right? Because doesn't the end of verse 27 say that the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints, what? According to the will of God. And that is why we can be so sure that every detail of our lives is being worked into something good. Think about it. That's the transition to verse 28. That since the Holy Spirit is praying for us, He's always praying according to the will of God. That's why we can be so sure that everything else going on in our lives is being worked into something good. That takes me to number two. God is working all things for your good. Now that ends with three dots because the next point, that's just the first half of the sentence. I'll give you the next half in just a minute. God is working all things for your good, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Okay? So, now Paul is talking to saints, to people who are believers in Jesus Christ, those who've turned from their sin and turned to Jesus Christ for salvation and the hope of eternal life. And as believers in Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, He is like an omnisciently watchful parent who knows everything about us. Nothing happens in our lives that God isn't fully aware of, fully aware of it. Not one single thing in our lives is accidentally overlooked by God or neglectfully ignored by God. He never misses a thing. Not one single thing. Hallelujah. Nothing happens in our lives without God's total, meticulous, and unrelenting care and attention. But it's not just that God's paying attention. It's not just that God's merely aware of what's happening to us. God is sovereignly orchestrating every single thing in our lives, working it all together into something ultimately good. And that gives us hope. I mean, that's why the Holy Spirit is praying for us. You understand? Verse 28 is the reason the Spirit is praying for us, so that all things work together for good. This is the way God's doing it. This is the means of God guaranteeing it. He loves us. And He only wants what's good for us. I mean, that's true of you as a parent, right? You love your children and you only want what's good for them, even when they don't want the good that you want for them, right? Well, if that's true of us as sinful parents, how much more true is it of God? He loves us and He only wants what's good for us. But more than that, it's more that God just has this love and this want for us. God is decidedly determining to accomplish what is good for us. And so since He always gets what He prays for, He's using His sovereign knowledge and He's using His sovereign power to make all things work together for good. So God isn't just wanting this. He isn't just intending this. He is doing it. I mean, just as Joseph told his betraying brothers after it was all over, they'd left him for dead and they sold him into slavery, hated him. Remember what Joseph told his brothers after it was all over in Genesis 50, verse 20? He looked at them and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Wait a minute. God meant it for good. Because what his brothers did to him was evil. Yeah. They sold him into slavery. But God had a good purpose in it that was undeniable in the end. Painful in the moment, but undeniable in the end. And that's the power of God, to be able to do that. To turn something that was evil, to turn it into something good. God has the power to do that. Both to pray it and to accomplish it for you. And this isn't merely the this cold and impersonal doctrine of God's sovereign control over all things. No, this isn't just some abstract thing that's detached from our lives. This thing about God being sovereign and control of everything. No. This is the caring and the personal assurance of the God who loves you, that there is a good and meaningful purpose in the things that are happening to you, which at the time they're happening to you can only seem to be cruel and meaningless and senseless. But nothing is random. Nothing is random. Nothing is meaningless. Nothing is an accident. It's all a piece of God's plan for you. This is part of the plot. Part of the plot line. Whatever's happening to you is a part of the plan for you. So, God is working all things for your good. Number three. And He has been since the beginning. This isn't just something new. God woke up one day and said, you know, I better get busy. I better start making things better. No. Since before the beginning of time, God has been doing this for your life. I want you to see that in verse 29 and 30. Watch what He says. Watch this. There's this sequence here. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the goal. In order that He, that's Jesus, His Son, might be the firstborn among many brothers, the preeminent one. Okay, we'll come back to that. Verse 30. And those whom He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, He also called to Himself in salvation. And those whom He called, He also justified, made them right. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. So from before time till after time ends, eternity to eternity, this has been God's working plan, working all things together for your good. So think about it. God's love for you reaches back before you were born. He loved you before you were born. In fact, He loved you before you were conceived. In fact, He loved you before any of your parents or any of your ancestors ever existed. So, if you love Jesus today, it's because before God even made the world, God loved you and He chose you way ahead of time, before the world was ever made. God knew what He was doing from the beginning. And He decided from the outset to conform you to the image of His Son. And so when we look at Jesus' life, you know what we see? When we look at Jesus' life, we see what you could call the original and intended shape. The original shape and the intended shape that God has for our lives. His life is the shape our lives are intended to look like. And that's what it means to say that all things are working together for our good. It's to say that our good, what is our good? Because we can define good very differently than God can define good. Ask me how I know. Because I've defined it my way many, many times and demanded God make things work out the way I think they're good, and they're not the way God thinks they're good. So what is this good end God is working toward for us, our lives? Well, He told us in the text that our good is our conformity to the life of Jesus. Our good is our conformity to the life of Jesus. When our life takes the same shape as His life, it's our lives being lived along the same lines as that Jesus lived. So since before time, God decided to make all things in our lives work together for the good goal of shaping our lives to look like Jesus' life. So God is sovereignly and providentially working all things together to make us like His Son. That is the highest good that can be imagined. And God has been working that plan for our lives since before we were born, since before the creation of the world. You know, many of you have had the experience I've had. You prayed for your kids before they were born, right? Some of you have that? You prayed for your children before they were even born. You think maybe God had been doing that? I mean, He decided ahead of time. The Spirit prays for us. And you know, God's not going to let His plan for our life, His plan for our life, get sidetracked by anything, including our plans for our life. Because He's using everything in our life for our good, namely shaping our lives to match the life of His Son. So it doesn't matter if something bad happens that isn't our fault in our lives. That happens, right? Things happen in our lives that are bad. They're not even our fault. They happen to us. Doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter, thankfully, that something bad happens in our life that is our fault. Doesn't matter. Bad things will happen to us, and we will do bad things. We will sin. We will be stupid. And you know what? God knows that. And that doesn't blow up God's plan. It's no surprise to the one who knows the end from the beginning what's going to happen in your life. Okay? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows it all. He knows the end from the beginning. Nothing in your life is a surprise to Him. I'm grateful for that. But God also knows that none of what's going on in our lives can overturn His sovereign power to work it all together for good. Because Paul says that those who God chooses, the ones He foreknew, He calls by name. And those He calls by name, He justifies, which means He puts them on a solid basis with Himself. And then after getting us established with Him by grace alone, He stays with us to the end. He carries us to the end and gloriously completes the work He began in us and for us before the world began. Listen, God is determined to make you and me like His Son. He's determined. He loves us so much, He will do whatever it takes to make us like Jesus Christ. And God is using everything in our lives to accomplish that goal. And the Holy Spirit is praying for us all along the way. Meaning, God is working for our good, and He has been from the beginning. And He will be to the very end, the very bitter end, the very blessed end. And you know what? It doesn't stop there either. God's not just working for us until the end, but beyond the end forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Heavenly Father, help us to believe. Lord, it seems to me that that's exactly where we get short-circuited, is just believing. I say simply believing, but oh, how hard it is sometimes to believe that You are working all things together for our good. Father, will You forgive us for the ways we define good in ways that don't match Your definition? Definitions of good that are borrowed from the culture or that are demanded by our lust and our flesh and even our intelligence and logic, which is really a lot of times flawed because, Lord, I think You don't always work according to our logic. You're doing things that are mysterious and powerful and surprising, and we thank you for it. I mean, just Lord, it surprises us the way you accomplished our salvation, that you sent your son to die for us. None of us would have guessed that you would have done it that way, but you did. So, Lord, we even stand and sit here today and say, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge that you have to know what we need and to know how to accomplish it, how to accomplish what's good. So this morning, would you give us the faith to believe that you are at work in the world, you're at work in our lives, and that your work is pressing us, moving us, orchestrating things in our lives to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, working for our good, not our harm. Holy Spirit, thank you that you pray for us when we feel harm, when we hurt and when we are weak. Thank you that you help us in our weaknesses. Thank you that you are sympathetic, like a loving mother is for her child. Thank you that you know exactly what to pray, exactly when to pray it, and you always pray in accordance with God's will. And you even take our groaning and our aching and our sighing and you turn them into articulate prayers that get answered affirmatively. Thank you that you love us that much, that you would do that for us, even behind the scenes, without even us knowing. Thank you that you revealed that to us today through your word. Help us now to rest in your care for us. And would you work in our hearts to have a determination to cooperate with you, to shape our lives along the lives of the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus. So, work in us deeply, Lord, today. Give us faith. Give us hope. Give us exactly what we need. Whatever the word is that would describe what each person here today needs. Thank you, Spirit, you're praying for that. Lead us in the way we ought to go. Work all things for our good. Thank you that you will. We trust you. Thank you that you're sovereign over us. In Jesus' name, amen.